Okay, turn your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 13. I do want to mention that a week from Tuesday, Mr. Ross will be teaching a class on methods of Bible study, and be a good class on learning how to study the Bible, be very thorough, and I promise you he won't give you too much homework. But you will learn a lot, and so it'd be a great class. It'd be on Tuesday nights, beginning from a week from Tuesday. Okay, Acts chapter number 13. Very simple passage of Scripture. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now here we have a passage of Scripture that speaks about the sending of Barnabas and Paul to the mission field and sending them on their first missionary journey. Now what the Scripture emphasizes here is that the Holy Spirit said to the church, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them unto." That's what the Holy Spirit is the one who told the church to take these men and send them out as missionaries. Now, we don't know everything that took place, but we do know that the Bible makes it very clear that what God wanted man to know was it was the Holy Spirit that said to the church, "You separate and send Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them to." Now, in one sense of the word, we probably look at that a little bit differently. We kind of look at that as, well, here's somebody, and they're going to go to the church and tell and say to the church, "Would you send me?" But that's not what the Bible says. In fact, in a lot of ways, interdenominationalism has emphasized really the opposite. Interdenominational Christianity, which has really become very dominant thinking in this day, has said, well, you get God's call for your life and you just go do it. You don't need any man, any person, you just do it. Well, that's not the plan that God's revealed. Now, I think there's a lot of reasons why people have said that, and that's because they're in the wrong kind of church, they're in the wrong kind of denomination, they're in the wrong kind of association, and therefore they're gonna do it their way. And not saying that they don't accomplish much, but our job as a Christian is to find out what the Bible says. And even if some other method works, that doesn't mean that's the method to do. Our job is to go to the Bible, say, well, what does the Bible say missionary work is supposed to be done? Let's not go find out what somebody else did and how they did it and how it worked and how all of that. Let's just go back to the Bible and say, well, what does the Bible say it's supposed to be done? That's just as simple as that. Now, obviously, the Lord's work gets done a lot of different ways. But what the Bible is telling us is the best way. He's revealing the best way. And God's way is that the local church is the channel of this call of the Spirit of God to people, to the missionary work or whatever work it is. Now, so we find that a New Testament church is really God's channel. The New Testament church is God's channel. It's God's channel. It's the channel through which He has chosen to accomplish His work. Now, again, you know, there's other ways that work is done, but this is the channel that's revealed in the Bible. And that's what we have to have in the top of our thinking. Okay? So, let's see exactly what took place here, and we'll go to some other places. Now there were in the church, there was an Antioch, prophets, teachers, that says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, isn't it interesting? Here's Barnabas and Saul among these men. They are ministering to the Lord, and there's probably some serious business here. Maybe they are even fasting about what God's will is for carrying out the gospel to the ends of the world. That really may be it. We don't know. But in that context, the Holy Spirit said to Barnabas, said to the church, separate me, these two men, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them. Now, there's a practical application. There's a practical application. The practical application is this. You know, if you really want to find God's will for your life, if you really want to be in the place where that God wants you to be and go and do what God wants you to do, there's a simple prerequisite. Be serving in the New Testament church with all your heart. That's where you're going to find God's will for your life. That's a simple principle. You know, in actuality, that was kind of how the Lord led us here to McQuonigal. I knew, that we were to come back to Wisconsin and start a church. I was hoping it would be my hometown of Delafield. And as we went back to our home church, Faith Baptist Church, Waukesha, I said, Pastor, I believe that God would want us to start a church, and we'd like to start a Bible study and investigate that. And, you know, and so the church authorized us to do that. And after a few months, I came to the conclusion, this is not the place that God wants the church to be started. As much as I wanted it to be, it wasn't God's place. I just could tell it was not the place that a church was going to be started. It wasn't the right time. And so I remember that specific time was about the second week in August of that summer. And so I said, Pastor Cecil, this isn't it. This isn't it. I don't know where it is. And so there's only one thing I know what to do. The Bible gives me the pattern. I'm just going to get as busy as I can in this church. And I'm going to be doing everything I can to serve the Lord in this church. And if you want to start the bus ministry up again, I'll run the bus ministry. And I'll be in Sunday school, and I'll be in visitation. And you know, any work that needs to be done in the church, I'm there to do it. I'm just going to give myself 100% to the ministry of this church because that's what God's plan is. And so, that's what happened. And I got busy in work of the Lord, and I was willing to stay there a long time, do everything I could, because I cared about the work of God. And I think it was November 1st, Pastor Cheesdale came to me, and I didn't know the context, but there had been a man that had been tried to start a church in Mequonago, and he had been here over a year, maybe longer. And he was an experienced pastor from Michigan who moved here for that purpose. And I think he'd been here a year, if not 2 years. And he had seen a couple, maybe one soul come to Christ. I'm not sure. But he couldn't get it off the ground. And end of October of that year, he said, I'm leaving. And he left town. And the next day, or next week, Pastor Teasdale said, you know, maybe you ought to check about going into Mequonago. And that's when I started praying about coming to Mequonago and did a survey and research. You know, knowing what the Bible said, I knew I was going to find where God wanted us to start a church. And it wasn't going to be by going out all over the place trying to find that place because I didn't know what it was. And very uniquely, it was the pastor who came to me and said, this is where I think you ought to go. Now, there's a principle here. It's a principle. The leadership of that church were the means whereby the Holy Spirit spoke and said, now, these men are ready. The time is right. Send them out. Now, of course, we could make it very clear. A lot of important principles is pretty important about your relationship to your pastor. That's pretty important. You have a right relationship with your pastor because he is probably going to be part of that means whereby God says, you know, they're ready. It's also very important because we have principle here. It is the person who is the most qualified to really determine if somebody is ready to go out into the Lord's work is the one who's charged, who is in the Lord's work and over the souls of these people. Be obvious, wouldn't it? How important it is to have a right relationship with your pastor. How important it is to be under your pastor and under his authority and be under the training and the guidance that God put him there for. You know, you have to see. You know, there's one principle that we need to understand in the Bible. You know, when you read the Bible, one of the things you always want to look for is you want to ask yourself this question. How does God work? You ever ask yourself that question when you read the Bible? How does God work? You know, if you read the Bible correctly, after a while you say, you know what? Yeah, I can see that. That's how God works. That's how God works. And people come up with some really strange thing and they're going to do their own thing and they say, this is what I'm going to do. And I says, you know, I just don't see it at all. I don't see it. Why don't I see it? Because they're trying to do something against the common, obvious principles and laws by which God normally works. God has principles and policies and laws and truths by which he works. And there's a pattern here. Here's a pattern for the New Testament church. And I think that this has been many times lost. This has been lost. Now, I think there's another principle here. Another principle here. It's not only what a person, what kind of a life a person ought to be living, and where they ought to be functioning, and who it is through the authority that God is normally uses. Now, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there that out there today that has nothing to do with churches. That's why we're in such a big mess. There's two reasons. So much is being done outside of God's plan, and the other plan is a lot of the New Testament churches aren't what they ought to be. And so you have a pretty big story for a mess. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Here's another obvious principle. The training and preparing ground for your life, for God's will, and doing God's will is where? Where's that spiritual training ground? The church. The church is the spiritual training ground. Now, a couple places here, Acts chapter 16, second missionary journey. Paul is now returning to Lystra and Derbe, and then he came to Lystra and Derbe. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews. Here is Timothy, apparently gets saved in the first missionary journey. He comes back to these churches, and here's a young man well reported of. Well reported of. In between that time, between the first missionary journey and the second missionary journey, guess what? Here's this young man whose life has obviously shone for God. It shone in the context of where he lived. He had time to show and to prove who he was. And when Paul saw him, he says, "There he is. That's the man I need." Paul could see the call of God on him. I remember Mr. Simonson got saved. Remember the Sunday he went forward to dedicate his life to the Lord? But I think even a couple of weeks before that, after he got saved, the first Sunday, Saturday after, the first week after he got saved, second week, I said, "Mr. Simonson, I want you to come on out to my house, and I want you to meet somebody." And I had been witnessing in your subdivision. And there's a fellow by name, Mr. Henderson, I think that's what his name was. And I said to Mr. Simons, he came out there, I says, "I've been witnessing to this guy. I want to take you over there, and I want you to witness to him." And so I had a purpose in that. I had a purpose to get him out soul winning right away. And he thought he was just going to come meet somebody, but my plan was to take him out soul winning. And wasn't very long, almost immediately after I got saved, my wife and I are thinking, "I think God's going to call him into full-time work." Now, that thought had not even entered into his mind. Never. As we saw what God was seeking to do, he said, I think God wants to call him to full-time service. The local church is a training ground for life, for God's plan, for God's purpose. Acts chapter 15, verse 25, we have the incident where Paul comes to the church at Antioch and then goes to Jerusalem and says, we have this problem. There were of men who have come and said you have to be circumcised to be saved. And to make a long story short, they present this to the church at Jerusalem. And they decide to tell Paul and what message to give, but then they also choose two men to send the message to the churches. And it's kind of interesting what it says. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now they're going to choose two men. Who are they going to choose? They're going to choose two men. Who are they going to choose? See, the local church is a training ground of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Local church is a training ground of trustworthiness. The local church is a training ground of sacredness. They're going to take somebody who's going to take the message and they're going to deliver it exactly as it was given to them by the church, and they're not going to distort it. Got to have a faithful man. This was enemy territory. This is a huge thing. They had to have someone they could vitally trust. Who are they going to, where are they going to find these people? These are people who have proven themselves in the local church. You know, sometimes people have this attitude, you know, well, we're just going to church. We just go to church. You know, we live our life, but we go to church. You know what? You're missing the whole picture. You're missing the whole picture. The local church is a training ground, a proving ground, a growing ground in which God is using what you are experiencing, using that to build within you faithfulness, service, character, trustworthiness, selflessness. That's the purpose of the church. It's a preparation ground. Why? Because the New Testament church is the place, the channel in which God works in His perfect will. So you have this job. And you say, well, you know, I don't really, you know, I'll do it, but I'm just not going to give myself 100% to it. Do you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? You are failing the test. You are failing the opportunity to develop your life for that which God wants to use you for. He has something else for you. He has more for you. But what you have right now is the means whereby you are developed and you are matured and you are building your life. And you say, oh, well, you know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. I can, you know, I'll do it, but, you know, I'm not going to do it with all my heart. You know, well, you know, maybe I'm not even going to do it this week. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing? The local church is a testing ground. It's a proving ground. It's a growing ground. It's the channel that God uses for you to develop your life so God can take you and give you something greater. It never happened, though, if you're not faithful. It'll never happen if you don't take what you have and use it to develop your life and to develop your soul. You know, we can be so short-sighted. You know, all we think is, oh, this is just McQuonago Baptist Church. That's all this is. McQuonago Baptist Church. You know, big deal. No, it's God's institution. And it's God's plan. It's God's channel for your life. He's going to go to the moon and find somebody. That's what the New Testament church is all about. You know, we have over 7 billion people on this world, on this earth. You know that? There's fewer missionaries going on the field than ever before. And there's more false teachers and more liberals and more new evangelicals that are changing the gospel. Do you think God's interested in this church? I think God's interested in this church and churches like it. And you didn't get placed here by accident. You didn't get placed here by accident. God has a divine plan. And that plan is higher and greater than we can understand. And this is a proving ground. Because God has great things that need to be done, but He needs people who will take the opportunity that they have and be developed and become faithful. God has a plan through the local church. We could say many other things tonight, but we're running out of time. I think a couple other places that we'll just mention. It's kind of interesting, 1 Corinthians 16 talks about the missionary offering for Jerusalem, the conclusion of it. he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Lay by him in store. Well, this kind of thinks of the Old Testament principle, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, here it tells us here the local church is the channel through which the missionary offering was to be given. That's what God chose. You know, that is important. You know, you shouldn't probably give something, give your money to something, some spiritual ministry that wouldn't fit with the doctrine and practice of your local church. Amen. That would be quite unwise. And you know, there wouldn't be any charlatans out there filled with million-dollar pockets if people were in the right kind of church and only gave to ministries that their church could support. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't done otherwise, but I think the Bible is saying this is the best way. There's a channel here. The New Testament church is a channel. And we could say a lot of other things. Obviously, Matthew 28, 19, 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Obviously, we have a part of the Great Commission that obviously he's talking about the New Testament church. And in a technical sense, the teaching of the Word of God has been committed to the New Testament church. It's God's channel. Now, in a practical way, we need to really think about the channel that God has chosen. The channel that God has chosen. Oh, there's a lot of other ways to do things. But God has a channel. You know, it's not an accident that you're here. You know, you might say, boy, I think it's an accident I had to put up with you, Pastor. No, you know what? I don't even think that's an accident. Because maybe I'm just the kind of person that you need to be able to grow. Maybe just having to put up with me would be the opportunity for you to grow in which you would never be able to grow in another way. You say you don't know the people that share our pew with us. You know what? God knows. That might be a test of long suffering. But God has a channel. And it's the New Testament church. And those who understand that find the blessing of the Lord. Those who understand that find the blessing of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak of the New Testament church as a channel. And Lord, there are so many lessons that applications. But I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would help us to see that you have given us a means and an opportunity and a place to grow, to develop our lives, to develop our ministry, to develop our spirituality, to develop our understanding of the workings of God, to grow in spiritual power, to grow in vision, to grow in passion, to grow in all our lives. And I pray that, Lord, we would submit ourselves to your plan. And seek to live to your glory and for your glory in that plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.